I'd like to pass the floor to Banshee.
I'm Banshee Henyus. I'm founder and current station manager of New Hope Radio, which is in Bella Coola, kind of northeast of here, I think. And we first got the idea for New Hope Radio during the I Don't Know More resistance movement. A group of us got together to talk about what I Don't Know More means to the New Hope people. We consider ourselves a sovereign nation, and I Don't Know More was in response to Canada's policies. And we just discussed what that meant to us and what was important to us as New Holcom. And it came down to what's most important is maintaining our language and saving our language. And at the time, I think we had about 12 New Holcom language speakers remaining. And we thought that we just wanted to do it in whatever way we could. If it had to be a pirate radio station, then we would do that. We would pool our money together and we would start this station and do whatever we had to do, run it out of one of our basements and move forward. But we felt that this was important because we had heard like places like Hawaii, they had really utilized radio to help save and maintain the Hawaiian language, and that it was a great way to move forward. So we ended up getting a bit of a grant to renovate an old dingy trailer, and as well as to buy some equipment, and that's how we got started. And yes, we have a license, and our license is from our stadalum, our hereditary leadership. They have given us license to operate on New Hulk territory, and that's what's important to us. Not a freaking license from CRTC, not a license from Industry Canada, nothing like that. But we got started, we started broadcasting, and someone in quotations called us in. So Industry Canada contacted us and said that we had to shut down because we didn't have a... Yeah, where they have to go in and they have to test our equipment and things like that. So we did shut down so Industry Canada could come in. And I was told that we should apply for a license exemption through the CRTC, which means that we don't have to have a full meal deal license through CRTC. We don't have to abide by all their keeping logs and all these other rules that they have. So they sent us a letter saying that we are exempted from getting a license. And that's how we've operated so far. We've struggled with trying to get language on air, mainly, firstly, because a lot of our stuff is documented and things like that, but the people who hold those recordings, the people who are our language speakers and things like that, there's a bit of issue with sharing language and sharing our culture online. We operate on 91.1 FM in Bella Coola, but also worldwide online. And I think I understand the reasons why people feel like that. It's because a lot of our stuff has been taken. Our children have been taken. This has been taken. Land has been taken. And our language is something that's important to us and unique to us, and now that's going to be taken and shared, or how that's how people feel. But one of our board members and our cultural leader said, if we hold on to things too tightly, he calls it glima, then we kill it. So our language is on air, our recordings are on air. The thing that we struggle with is that we have only about 5 language speakers remaining, and most of our radio hosts don't speak New Hulk. So what we've done is we've hired a language speaker to come into our station and to train our hosts about 3 days a week. And so they do language lessons, and then they take what they've learned and they try and share it on their shows. So not that their shows aren't completely in New Hulk, but they do what they can. We also utilize a program called First Voices, which is run out of Victoria, where they document our language, kind of like a dictionary, and they put it online, and that's been a really good resource for us because our hosts can go on this website and they can play words, they can utilize sentences and things like that and play it over the radio and repeat it over the radio. So we're just doing whatever we can to try and bring in language stuff. Another one of our important goals, though, is to share positive information. We have so much English language media that's all about sad news and horrible news and deaths and murder and war, and we don't want to be like that. There's enough tragedy in our community, and we don't need to be another bearer of bad news. So the only time we share news is if it's positive news or if it's constructive news. If someone dies in a house fire or there's a house fire or something like that, we talk about how that family could use donations. We don't just simply say so-and-so died. And we also don't announce deaths on air. Until the day of the funeral, if the family's okay with it, we'll talk about there's funeral services, things like that, because we don't want to be a trigger for people. We also, our focus is also in upholding our hereditary leadership and on focusing on the fact that this is sovereign Nukolk territory, that we're trying to uphold our nationhood and trying to promote our stewardship of our homelands and about taking care of our lands and waters. Our tagline in Nukolk is roughly translated to broadcasting the laws and the lands and waters, which means our indigenous laws, our Nukolk laws that stem from our relationship with the land that have been passed down for thousands of years. And that's what we try to make our focus on. The shows that we try to share all have something to do with how to build us up physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. So we really utilize this station as a tool to help heal our people. We also want to help neighboring nations, so we share information about our neighboring nations and about sharing our common goals. What else am I missing? But I think mostly what we do is that we're trying to do what our ancestors wanted for us and some of our leaders who've passed on, and that's maintaining who we are and trying to get back to our relationship with the lands and waters. And as well with today, with climate change and how scary the world's going to get, that we really need to provide tools for us to be able to get through that. So things like food sovereignty is very important to be sharing on air. And we started June 21st, 2014, which is almost 3 years ago. We're building and growing still. Nukolk people are very shy, so it's taking a bit of time for people to get warmed up to come on air and share their stuff. But the more we go, the more people are becoming involved. And what we hope to do is we want to partner with other nations, because it's a lot for a small community to do 24/7 radio. So we can be sharing shows with other nations and really building like an indigenous CBC, not CBC, but an indigenous network where we can all come together and share stuff that can help strengthen us all. And I think that's all I have to say. Yeah. Next. Awesome.
I really am happy to hear about the story behind Nukolk Radio, because I have family connections with Bella Coola. My partner is from Bella Coola also. And being out in the community, I hear of people that are non-First Nations or who are Nukolk that are living away from the community, connecting and listening to that radio show and being impacted by it in a positive way. And you know, you wouldn't think that a little radio show way up north is being listened to on Vancouver Island and abroad. It really is impressive, and it is, it really does demonstrate how when we are anchored in our culture and our identity, that we're best able to share that with people when our pursuit is for truth and a greater understanding and moving to preserve our culture. The radio show that I am connected to is called Siem Naschwamoch. I'll say that again. Siem Naschwamoch. Siem Naschwamoch. And what it translates to is my respected fellow Native people. When I first got connected to this radio show, it was, as I shared the other day, my cousin, he shared with me the name of a person who was passionately going into our local communities, seeking out individuals that may be interested in participating in community radio. So, being a shy person also, but still wanting to do what I could to preserve our language and history, I kind of threw myself into the fire, so to speak. And I met with Ken Brault, who is a person who is in charge of the all of the radio gear. And so we met up. There just so happened to be a reconciliation event being hosted by Sean Atleo and Wab Canoe. I don't know if anybody is familiar with that name. But we met in Nanaimo, and dozens of people came to attend this event because there was so much happening in Indian country. And I think this was when Teresa Spence was in the news, and there was a lot of people kind of just upset that there was this picture being painted of our people that was not accurate. So the topic of discussion for this event was reconciliation and what it means through media. And it really motivated people to want to become more involved and to find ways that we could share our stories through an authentic voice. And so I met with him, and we kind of went over some planning, and we were very mindful that in our communities it's difficult, very difficult, to bring new ideas and new initiatives forward. And of course it always goes back to our elders. We want to make sure we have their support. We want to make sure that they trust us with our knowledge and information. So we were very careful. And I said, I really need to make sure that I have support from within my community before I go forward. But what's unique about Siem Naschwamoch is that it was three nations, Snanawis, Snanamo, and Stamenis, three Coast Salish nations, where Ken was able to identify people that were passionate about history and culture. So there was me, Geraldine Manson, and a language expert, Buffy David. We had our first meeting, and we started to identify what was most important for this radio show. And so I felt really humbled because I consider myself to be a young person. I'm not really quite pre-elder yet, but I'm getting closer and closer in that direction. But I was sitting with these people that are so knowledgeable, who spent hours and years, actually, just working to preserve history, and who are connected to our cultural ways through the longhouse, who sing and dance in our traditional customs. And I'm still fairly kind of in that place where I'm still trying to get grounded and rooted in my culture after having exited the education system and pursued a career, kind of doing that turn around and reaching back into my culture for strength. I felt so lucky to be sitting with them, and I felt kind of out of place because here I am with these experts of culture and language, and I didn't know quite what I had to offer at that time. So Ken had said, well, before we move forward with our really brilliant idea, we need to make sure that we ask for space through CHLY and the university. Now, CHLY, community radio, if anybody's ever listened to it, I don't know if anybody's listened to it, but there's a diverse array of content that is very authentic and so we had to ask for space. He said, well, I'm going to arrange a meeting with you and some of the key decision makers at CHLY, and we're just going to have to share what our ideas are. So I said, okay. But I was really nervous because if you go back into history with the radio station, some of the radio shows that had an Aboriginal content focus kind of met their threshold, so to speak. Like, they could only go so far, and you could only play so much powwow music, or you can only do this for so long, and then you start to run out of content. So we really had to brainstorm and think, how do we bring more voices, more stories in? So I really advocated, and this was my first time actually really being in that position of advocacy. And so I begged and I pleaded with them. I said, you know, we have young people in our communities that don't necessarily feel attached to their Aboriginal identity. And that all that's happening in the world and with media that's out there already, they're getting a distorted view of their identity, and we need to change that. So, as it turned out, after some thought, and Ken was surprised also, he said, yeah, they liked it. They liked our idea, we're gonna do it. So they granted us 3 days out of the week. We have a 1 hour time slot. And so Ken and I started to arrange interviews, and some of the interviews that we did, like my first show that I did, was very, I was so nervous. But moving forward, and this is where it becomes so important to have more people involved that are of the same mindset. So many people have helped to develop this show, and even though I was sort of kind of there at the inception, so many people have brought their ideas and vision, and the most incredible thing is that Snanawis, Snanemo, and Stamenis, we have like this ancient history together, but through colonization and the way things have been for our people, we've kind of gone off in our own little factions and our own little worlds and lost that connection. So it's been really nice to be able to reconnect and reestablish some of those ties. But it hadn't been without its challenges, and the strongest thing that binds us really is that focus on language and culture. And if anybody comes to Nanaimo in Ladysmith area, you'll have non-First Nations people saying Halkaminum words to you, and they'll be so excited and passionate about it, like they learned something, and they're just like, they feel good to be able to know that they learned some of our local language. And it's really interesting going through Tim Hortons and having somebody, not even non-First Nations, but maybe another ethnicity, saying, Namikwa, and being very, it's actually really heartwarming. So even though our own people may not always listen to the radio show, the ripple effects are far-reaching, and I feel so grateful. And not to shine a light on some of the negative aspects of sharing our culture and history in a world that is so much impacted by Western worldview, I don't like to use the word racism. But I want to build on that notion of truth. And when people know the truth of the people in an authentic way, they have a broader understanding. And it kind of helps to shift that mindset that we are, that there's, I don't know if it's just racism, ignorance. It's when there's more truth, it helps to build that understanding. It helps to change the way people view Aboriginal people. And I think that's all I wanted to share.
So I guess the first time I heard Siamu Skomo, it was the intro, and they start their show with a prayer, and I recognized the song that I was singing from being on Tribal Journeys, and I was at the grocery store, and I kind of just sat in the car for the whole hour. But I remember you, Natasha, talking about having a dream of having a library of songs from all of the surrounding nations. So fast forward maybe a couple months, Kenny got in touch with me through Courtney, I believe, and we just started talking, and Kenny kind of gave me the space to be able to share Sha'amin and Hamalco and Klahus on air. So I shared language, we had a word of the day in the Nanaimo for a while, some of our old legends, like our legends revolve around Mank, so I just had the opportunity to share a little bit of who we are on their radio show, and it was a really big honor.
Struggling to get the show on the air, and he had these big, wonderful ideas that he was really pushing the board at CHLY and other programmers for the space and the time to be able to put this show together and air it. And there was a number of different struggles that he went through with other station members, but it was really, really, really important to him to find people to share their culture and history and language in their own voices, and to make space on the airwaves in Nanaimo and the surrounding area for people to be able to do that. He did not give up. It took him over 3 years to get the show launched, if I remember correctly, Natasha. It was a long road for him and for the group to get going, but perseverance and squeaky wheel, like, he would send emails and messages and phone calls, and he was very, very determined to make the space on the airwaves for that show, and he was successful. And then we talked again about doing simulcasting so that we could air the show while it was live from CHLY at CJMP. So I worked with Zoe and Don Mitchinson and Kenny to get that happening, and we got our tech people at CJMP to figure out how we could make that happen, because I'm pretty sure that was the first time we'd ever done a simulcast.
Yeah. So simulcast means it's in Nanaimo, it's happening live, and in Powell River, it's coming on the radio live. So Devin could be live on the radio with them.
Yeah, so essentially it was broadcasting live on two stations at the same time. And that was awesome. That was progress for CJMP, and it was really great to be able to collaborate and connect with one of our sister stations at CHLY. And the feedback was really great. We've had many people in Sha'amin who would listen on air to hear Devin speak or share songs and language, and so then also learning about other nations' language and culture, and that collaboration and sharing of common histories and struggles seems to work really great on the air and in stations being able to collaborate with each other. That was it, pretty much. It took a while, but it happened, and Kenny found people who would support him and the rest of the team and also help be more squeaky wheels, you know, so I sent a few emails to some other folks at CHLY as well, and we just kind of kept poking.
Just want to add, the battle that Kenny was fighting was that the policy of CHLY, when it was instituted originally, they got that license because they had promised to broadcast Indigenous language and music, and they did not. And Kenny was the one who founded in the policy and, like you said, poked and poked and came and kept asking.
Through his advocacy, has really fought to have territorial acknowledgements embodied into our policy, that CHLY. So that, to me, is huge. It's taken a long time, and maybe to some it's a small thing, but it's actually a very big victory for CHLY.